Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Welcome back in, everybody. Mornings at KFH. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Appreciate them for fueling us up here on Sports Daily. We welcome in our KU insider, Jacob Albrock and Tommy Castor here, joined now by Shreya Slotta, beat reporter for the KC Star on KU football, KU basketball. And Shreyas, our greatest fears have come to life. It is October as we turn the calendar to October, and KU football is sliding slowly back into irrelevancy. And I don't mean that it should be necessarily, but I'm afraid that it will if they don't figure out a way to win a game. How are you this morning?
Good. what an intro. But I think it's kind of, I think we talked about it last week. It's go time for KU football. I mean, it's been go time for like 4 weeks now, but four straight losses, tough loss. Three of those losses they probably could have won if they had limited turnovers and stuff like that. And I was texting Carter Stanley about this yesterday, and he's like, looking at the schedule, I thought coming into the year, he was telling me, I thought they'd have maybe two losses in the first five games. And he said, I'd be disappointed with the fact they'd have two losses, but they still, I think, I didn't expect them to be, we'd be talking about them having lost four straight. And I think that's where I'm at. If I looked at that schedule and I said, hey, before the season, I think KU's going to lose maybe one of these five games, pick whatever you want. I don't know which one. And I felt like I would have come out on top of that, prediction probably 70% of the time. Right now, we're looking at a KU team that hasn't won in almost a month. I think it's been a month. Is it been a month? Yeah. It feels like things are tense. That's the word I'd use around KU football right now. Tense.
Shreyas, anybody who knows me knows that I'm a KU football fan. I have been for a long time. I followed this team for a long time. Try to get up to as many games as I can each year with my family. I've been to, I think, all but one of the home games so far this year, but I've obviously watched all of them. And the one thing that I came on this show on Monday and talked about was that this was the first time this season that I felt like Kansas was not the better team on the field against TCU. In every other game, it had been, they were the better team. They were the better team against West Virginia. In all of the non-conference games, they were the better team. They just couldn't find a way to pull out the victory. TCU was flat out a better team than Kansas was. They looked more prepared. They looked more athletic. They looked more effective and efficient. All of those different things. I mean, it definitely, they outclassed the Jayhawks on Saturday. And to me, I think that's the most disappointing thing.
No, I completely agree. I think this was the first game that I felt like, hey, they didn't really have a chance to win. You know, the momentum changer felt like that punt return for a touchdown. I mean, good football teams don't give up 89-yard punt returns for touchdowns. Good football teams don't, you know, lose because of a potential block in the back. I think it's one of those things that everything is compounding. I just don't understand how bad this KU team is, because you had most of this team from last year return. You have guys, you know, if I think KU is bad right now, what's next year going to look like when 15, 16 of these guys are gone and 30 guys really are graduating, you know, 15, 16 starters are gone. You know, this was the year I think KU football was supposed to come out there and shock the world and make a Big 12 title run. And right now, and I wrote about it after the game, it's now like, can you even win a bowl game? Can you get to a point where you're going to get to be in a bowl game? Because they're entering really dangerous territory. If they don't win Saturday, you have now put yourself in a situation where you're going to the bye week 1-5. 1-5. And Houston is the only winnable game that I can certainly say that I think they'll win. But also, who knows? I think it's become a spiral, right? Like, it's clear that until you win the game, I can't sit there and definitively say they're going to win any game. And once they win a game, then I can sit there and evaluate this team. But, you know, I think it's a compounding issue. This was the first game, like you said, that they really weren't in it for most of it. I mean, you know, they hung around a little bit, but I thought TCU was the really better team.
So I agree. And the problem with the schedule is now Iowa State's better than we thought. BYU's better than we thought. Colorado's better than we thought. So what at one point looked like a advantageous schedule, they've started the advantageous part of it with two losses. I'm concerned about the bowl game thing too. Here's the bigger, more pressing concern, Tree, is what in the hell has happened to the defense? Because Jalen Daniels is not an accurate passer right now. The fit with Grimes isn't a good fit. Like, it's just not. But that's not going to change, right? There was still hope, though, that this could be a good defensive team that could run the ball. But they can't run the ball if they can't play defense. And for the last 2 weeks, they have not played defense.
Yeah, I think, you know, the reality of the situation is the numbers, like, against West Virginia where they got to the passer were misleading. Three sacks don't really mean that much in the reality when you're not pressuring the quarterback outside of those three plays. I think they had two QB pressures. This past week, they sacked the quarterback once or twice the entire game, and they didn't really do anything to really make his life difficult. Josh Hoover was sitting in the pocket, just waiting for going through his progressions, reading the field, and dart, you know, another 20-yard bomb right there, 15-yard bomb there. I've never seen a quarterback disseminate the KU secondary as well as Josh Hoover did on Saturday since I've been on the beat. I've been on the beat since that Liberty Bowl. So I guess maybe that game, but I don't think the secondary was as good in the December 2022 or whatever as it is now. And let's call it like it is. Kobe Bryant, Melo Dotson, guys who were supposed to be Big 12 All-American type level players, have not been as good as they can be. They haven't gotten enough, you know, turnovers. I mean, Melo's done a good job of it this year, I think, with three turnovers. But I feel like the burntness, they're getting burnt on routes a lot more. They're missing some tackles. There was a point where I think Melo didn't properly tackle, and it was behind the sticks, and it turned into a 30, 20-yard game, something like that. And that was just the kind of the, you know, evolution of what this secondary has become. Is like, you know, I know the pressure is on that because the defense cannot get to the quarterback, so there's a lot of pressure on the secondary. But, you know, this was supposed to be the one part that you don't worry about with this KU football team is the secondary. You know, it's kind of like you have O.J. Burrows, you have Melo Dawson, you have the Dye brothers, you have Kobe Bryant. These guys are all older guys. These are guys who you should expect to be the strong part of your team no matter what happens with the offense or the rest of the defense. And I think it's a two-pound problem in the sense that they can't get to the quarterback, so the secondary is out there on the field trying to make something happen. They go for more risks. They get burnt a little bit. It's just become an issue where if they can't get to the quarterback, then you're putting a lot of pressure on the secondary. And if the secondary does that, then they're going to make a lot of more mistakes. And it's clear if you have a quarterback that can pass, like TCU did, they're going to have a good day against Kansas if they can't get to you.
Sharice, I have taken quite a bit of heat on this show because I think that there's a perception that I'm a Jalen Daniels defender. And I am to an extent because I don't believe that this is solely on his shoulders at all. Has he regressed from before? Absolutely, he has. His mechanics and his arm strength and decision making and all of that, absolutely not where it had been in the past. And that's real and true. But I also think that he has not gotten any help at all from the sidelines. He has not gotten help at all from his receivers outside of Luke Grimm. You talk about the upperclassmen on the defense and the secondary that haven't played up to standards. I could say the same thing about guys like Lawrence Arnold and Quentin Skinner that have dropped passes left and right when that's not what they do and that's not what is expected of them. So I don't put it on solely on the shoulders of Jalen Daniels because he hasn't gotten any help at all. But it is, I'm not going to mince words here, mind-numbingly infuriating the play calling from this team because I saw it so many times on Saturday against TCU on first downs when they were calling insanely difficult plays to complete, whether you're talking about like deep shots or just fly routes or whatever, really low percentage completion percentage plays on first down, which then when they didn't work, obviously it's dropping Jalen Daniels' completion percentage down to the lowest he's ever had at KU. But it also is putting the defense or putting the offense with their backs up against the wall on second down and third down. And all of that knowing that they've got a really effective running game with Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw that they're not leaning on, and with an offensive line that can absolutely run block for them. And I know that's a long question, words to get to this point, but do you feel that too, like with the play calling where it's just like you're scratching your head, like what in the world are they doing?
I definitely think the play calling is an issue. I definitely think Jalen Daniels is an issue. I definitely think the wide receivers are an issue. Lawrence Arnold and Quintus Skinner are having probably the worst years you can probably ask for from fifth-year guys in the entire country. These guys were regressed. I don't know what's going on. They're not catching the ball. But I think, and I will say this wholeheartedly, Jalen Daniels right now is playing like he's not confident in his own abilities. If you saw those third, fourth downs where he needed to get something, why are you passing 5 yards below the stick and hoping your receiver makes something out of nothing? That, to me, tells me a quarterback who's not even sure he believes in either himself, the offensive line, or the receivers. I don't know. I think it is something that we have to sit there and say the play calling is an issue. Jalen Daniels might be a bigger issue. The wide receivers have not done many favors. The tight ends are not as good as last year. Mason Fairchild, I mean, Jared Casey and Trevor Cardell, let's call it like it is. They haven't had a good game until this past Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, like this was the first game where I was like, okay, nice job, Jared Casey. Nice job, Trevor Cardell. You did something on the field where you can quantifiably see besides run blocking. And I think it's lead them to be so one-dimensional on offense because now teams are stacking the box and daring Jalen Daniels to throw. And it's put so much pressure on him because he can't be whatever is going on with him, whether it's an offensive, play calling issue or it's a regression issue or he just wasn't as good as what we thought he once was. And those 7-8 games were just a magical run. I don't know. Like there's probably a mix of everything. But now, and I ask myself this is why isn't Jalen Daniels being talked about? Being put on the bench. Lance was asked about this at the press conference. I don't know if you guys watched that.
I didn't see
it. I wrote about it.
He was the unhappy.
most tense press conference I've ever been a part of in the Les Leipold era since I've been here. He showed up late. It was defensive all around. And I don't think any of the questions were super out of line. I think Matt Tate asked a good question there at the end. I think he threw his hands up at one point when asked about changes. And I will say this, and I've said this before, you know, to other people in the KU. The KU beat is a relatively very positive beat compared to most beats in the country.
Yeah, it's a friendly.
I think we give Lance Leipold a lot of grace out there. And I think we gave him a good amount of grace even on this past Monday. It was a record-setting – it lasted 7 minutes. He left in a hurry. It was just a weird, weird vibe around the entire press conference. And I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure on him from KU fans, from administration. You have a $250 million stadium, phase one they're trying to build. They haven't even raised – quite $200 million yet. I know it's hard to ask for money from fans at that point, but it's just become, I don't know what the solution to the issue is. Like, there's something's got to change. And in my opinion, if this is the Saturday that Jalen Daniels throws another two picks or whatever, or below 200 yards, you have really got to think about either benching him or changing the play caller or doing something, because people are going to tune out. I don't think KU fans are going to show up in games if they lose on Saturday. And already I think, you know, like as I write about it, it's become really tough even on me to write about a team that is losing in this way and write about it in a way that's interesting to people for them to click in an article to read about it. Because right now everything's a hate click. Oh, I hate this. I hate what's going on. I don't know how much it's going to last. And I think fans are going to tune out, especially if they lose Saturday. I think it's imperative that they go out there and win. I think this is the closest thing to a must win at this point in the season. And I think just going back to it all, like if they're not ready to bench Jalen Daniels, then why didn't you bring in a transfer quarterback this year? Does that mean you don't trust Cole Ballard? Or if you do trust Cole Ballard, why don't you sit there and see what he has? Because you're not going to win football games with Jalen Daniels playing the way he's playing. He's just not good enough to this thing. You can say he's progressed in the last two games, but a progression is not throwing two interceptions but sub 200 passing yards and 15 to 34 passing. Keep that. I don't think that's going to win any football games in the Big 12 besides maybe Houston.
Yeah, it's not, it's even, and it's all about replacement value with Daniels, but your point is good. If the replacement value isn't there, then that's an issue that you didn't have better replacement value.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Value. I agree with that. But I'm afraid. This is the first time that Lance Leipold has been under any pressure at all. He's been coaching with house money his entire KU career, right? Like, this is it. This is the first time they've had any expectations, really. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's not good to see either, because you can't get frustrated and just keep running the same thing out there over and over. It's not working. Something must change. Now your defense isn't playing well. Now you're losing your ability to go win games, because I'm telling you, if their defense isn't good, they're not winning any games. They have to be able to run the football, and they can't when they're giving up this kind of yard, 507 yards to TCU. 507 yards. They were bad against the pass. They were bad against the run. And if they don't defend, they're not winning any games. So I don't know. This will be an interesting test. This is it. First adversity for Leipold. First time. I would you agree with that, Tommy, that he's never been under any pressure?
And I think that is a really good lead in to kind of a follow up that I would love to get Sharice's thoughts on. I have been a Leipold fan since day one. I thought that him coming in,
I still am,
and bringing him into KU was still a fantastic decision. We're five games into this season, and there are other programs that have already started making changes when they've not been happy with the expectations. Purdue fired Graham Harrell, their offensive coordinator, after the game this past weekend. There have been other teams that have already made changes with their play callers because they're not happy with the results. I know that you mentioned how tense the press conference was with Lance Leipold. It concerned me, considering that this is the first really big adversity that he's faced in this time at KU, and that was kind of the reaction. Like, that's concerning to me. But I think what's even more concerning is, at least as of right now, the reluctance or the resistance to adjust anything. And I know that you said that after, you know, if things don't go well this weekend, then you have to take a look at really making changes. But honestly, Sharice, I'm not convinced that Leipold's going to do that. He seems like kind of a stubborn guy, like he's not going to make those changes. And let's call a spade a spade. Jeff Grimes, that hire as offensive coordinator, has been absolutely terrible for Kansas through the first five games. Can it change? Maybe. I don't know. But I think that Lance Leipold is doing a disservice to this program if he doesn't at least put that option on the table to make a change there.
I think, you know, and I asked, you know, I was talking to Kevin Clarity about this yesterday. The reality of the situation is the Jeff Grimes hire has not been up to par what they need, especially after you had let a guy like Andy Kotelnicki, you know, he goes to Penn State. Now he's setting records left and right, right? I think the reality of the situation is if Jalen Daniels has five turnovers instead of 10, I think we're sitting at a KU team that has three or four wins. So maybe they're not as good as everyone thought, but they're not far off from what everyone expected, right? And we wouldn't even be talking about Jeff Grimes. So maybe people would be nitpicky or whatever, but you know, you come out with wins in these games. How much are we really blaming Jeff Grimes? I think, in my opinion, if you're going to sit there and blame anybody, the most of it all is 100% the play of Jalen Daniels. I think you can't win football games when you're turning the ball over at a historic rate. I wrote about this, you know, Leipold tried to, he alluded to the fact that the offense isn't that far off from last year. The only stats they're not that far off from last year are rushing stats. Every other stat, passing, yards per game, points per game, completion percentage, stuff like that, is significantly different. There's a, like, you know, they're top 10 in the nation in turnovers in a bad way. Okay, like they're 125th in the nation. Or this thing, they're averaging 2.3 turnovers a game. Last year, that was 1.3, which was, like, you know, middle of the pack. This year, it's in territory that you don't want to be in some of the worst teams in the nation territory. And I think people want to get a scapegoat, and I understand why Jeff Grimes is an easy scapegoat. But the reality of the situation is, as somebody who has defended Jalen Daniels in the past, who would sit there and say he is Kansas's best option, I don't think he's Kansas's best option on the field anymore. I just don't.
I'll use the comparison I've used before. At just the necessity to shake things up, Will Howard won a Big 12 title for K-State. And it was October when he started losing reps to Avery Johnson last year. Now, maybe Kansas doesn't have Avery Johnson behind Jalen. They don't. But Will Howard got the job back later in the year, right? Like, Avery Johnson didn't play at the end of the year. Just do something to shake things up. Anything. Like, right now, they're not doing anything. Well, obviously, they are, but it's not working. But just, like, give the roster something. Like, give the fans something. That's my issue. Shreyas, we've got you in bonus time. We appreciate it. Follow Shreyas's work. You can find him on X at SHRE98. Of course, all his works at the KC Star. Hoops, football beats. Hopefully, we get some optimism and can salvage this thing. I still think that their running backs give them a chance to win any game they play. But my goodness, you've got to be able to give them a chance in a game. Shreyas, thank you. And we'll look for your work this week ahead of the next game before the bye week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Shreyas Lotta. Tommy, I've been dreading this segment now for how many days has it been since Saturday? Four? There's heat. There's real heat there.
There is.
And I hate it. I hate it because this was the year. And what does next year look like?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times over the last few days I've thought, has it been unfair to put the level of expectations on Kansas
absolutely
going into this season?
Not.
And I agree with you. As a Kansas fan, absolutely not. No way. Everything was trending towards massive success this year. Everything was.
You finally had a chance to have expectations.
Yep. And
right?
This is more, as a fan, a longtime fan, this is more frustrating than the years that they went 0-12 or 1-11 or what, like, far more
totally
frustrating because nobody thought they would do anything at all. Like, nobody had any expectations whatsoever. It was just like, man, whatever, KU football, they suck, move on. This is really, like, makes me so angry and disgusted because for the first time in 15 years, you finally have expectations and they've fallen off a cliff.
Apathy is always my greatest fear in sports, Tommy. Next year, look at the play. Like, what are they going to be next year? It's hard to imagine the roster will be more talented next year than it is this year. And they're one in whatever. 869-1240, you can chime in. When we come back, we're going to go back-to-back guests for you here. Paul Mills, Wichita State head men's basketball coach, is going to join the program. They're back practicing. So much to cover there. Excited about this. Get you ready for a little Shocker Hoops. Coming up quicker than we think. That's next. That's how we start hour number two of Sports Daily.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.